life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 102 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is July 27th, 2013, and joining us today is Aaron Long.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, good to hear from you again. And we are here to talk about the 1983 motion picture Crusher Joe.
Yay.
Yeah. Was that when we meant to hype it up there?
I don't know. I know Aaron likes it because he's been tumbling in it all week.
Oh, yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but first up, UK anime releases for the coming week, and there's a fair few again. First up, Cowboy Bebop Part 1 on Blu-ray for £25.
Bargain. So,
yeah, get that. That's worth it.
I've had it on pre-order since May, so.
Oh really?
Yeah, I have to keep on reminding myself that I have got it coming because. Oh, this is going to be an expensive month because I've got a car in the garage. Just needs one thing doing, but it's one thing which should be simple, but there's a bolt which doesn't want to come out, which may make it completely complicated. So,
yikes.
But yeah, already pre-ordered that. So,
is this going to be part one of two, I presume?
Yeah, it's the first 13 episodes.
Oh, that's so cheap, considering.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
For the best show.
Yeah, it's Cowboy Bebop. You need to.
On Blu-ray as well.
Yeah.
I would like to see some preview screens of it just to kind of tease me to buy it even more. I want to see how good it looks on Blu-ray. You'd expect it to look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Then also on Blu-ray, there is, I think, something we discussed many episodes ago as where was this? When is it coming out? Helsing Ultimate 1-4 on Blu-ray. Because I think 5-8 is already out.
On Blu-ray as well?
Yeah.
Such a strange order.
Yeah, I think they had to re-license this or some weird, weird shenanigans going on behind the scenes. But yeah, that's £25 for the 4 OAVs. Or, if you haven't got a Blu-ray player, it's £17 for the 4 of them on DVD.
Well, see, I'm tempted to just get them on regular DVD if I was to get them. Just because I'm never too fussed about Blu-ray unless it's something that I really, really like. So I might
same here.
Be a cheap git and save £8.
I thought you'd got these already.
I've got 1 and 2 on Region 1, which I should probably just give away now. Because I thought I was going to make a small fortune on those little. But it never did happen.
No. The thing you should have bought if you wanted to make a small fortune, as we'll get to later, is Crusher Joe on DVD.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh.
Then there's also Horizon on the Middle of Nowhere, Season 1 on Blu-ray, £23 on Amazon. I am not familiar with this. Is this the one where... it's a robot show, isn't it? Or something like that?
I don't know.
Come out when we first started recording the show? Was this on one of the new releases? Because the name itself rings a bell.
Maybe not. I can't see any robots. So it probably is. Let me see when it first came out. It's got people in scantily clad costumes. Yeah, 2011. Yeah, so we've probably mentioned this.
It rang a bell.
It's a light novel. Oh, it's Japan's cut up into feudal territories, which I think are all based on other countries, if I remember correctly.
Turn your safe search off if you happen to Google image it, people. It's unbelievable.
So that's on Blu-ray or DVD, similarly. And finally, Bakke Monogatari Part 2, which I think we've stated our disinterest in.
Yeah.
I like the look of it. I haven't seen any of it. But...
I think I watched the first couple of episodes, and it's stylishly done, but it's very talky. It's disguised talkiness. He's quite good at disguising the fact that all you're really seeing is people talking.
Hmm. Maybe I'll skip on that then.
And right, that's the UK anime releases for this week taken care of. So, Aaron, what you watch?
What do you watch?
I watched a couple of weeks ago, I watched Tokyo Godfathers for the first time, and I loved that. That's a really good movie by Satoshi Kon. I also watched Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1979
Oh.
one, the one with Donald Sutherland and Jeff Goldblum and Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
That's a cool movie. And I saw Kick Art at
Yay.
Anime Expo, which was a lot of
Oh.
fun. I got to meet Masaki Yuasa there, and they had this big panel where they had the North American premiere for it, and then they did, a discussion about it after, and that was really cool. Because Kick Art is great, obviously, and also just watching it with that many people who were all into it was really fun, because I'd never gotten to watch any of his stuff before with a big audience. And they were all, laughing in the right places and stuff. So it was a really fun day.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen with a lot of people has been Mind Game at the National Film Theatre here in London. So, yes, as my viewing of Kick-Ass as it came to us in our email box,
Not as exciting.
the timing was I watched it while eating breakfast. But no,
That's exciting too.
I enjoyed it a lot as well. It was exactly what I was expecting, and yeah,
Yeah.
almost the perfect thing for me. Masaki Yuasa doing a wrestling animation, which is a comedy. It's like you'd have to go out your way pretty much to find a more perfect cartoon for me to watch. How about you, Anthony?
I loved it. I just didn't want it to end. I really want to rewatch it again and again because it's just so funny. I didn't expect it to be quite as funny as what it was, and then obviously it just looks great as well. The opening like credits is awesome as well. Whatever
Oh, yeah,
song
that
that
was
is,
good.
it's really catchy. Yeah, I loved it.
In some bits, reminded me, and I'm sure they were supposed to, of the original Tiger Mask anime, what little I've seen of that.
Yeah, he said that was one of the big influences on it in terms of the style.
Yeah.
How it's sort of more sketchy than some of the other stuff he's done.
Yeah, and the way they shoot the ring is, I mean, it's not just a, that is pretty much tends to be how Japanese wrestling is shot or has been.
You mean
Particularly,
the angles that they
yeah,
use and
the
stuff?
angles they use, yeah. And sort of, right, because you know, if you watch a WWE show, they're basically side on to the ring.
Yeah.
Whereas they will be, have that diagonal angle more on Japanese. You can see it in Japanese wrestling video games, sort of in the late 80s, early 90s, particularly, they'd all be at that angle. When you looked at the American video games based on wrestling, they'd be,
Always flat.
yeah, always flat.
I didn't
Like a
know
Wes
that
Anderson
actually.
movie. Yeah, I like that. It's more dynamic to have that sort of diagonal in the angles.
Yeah, I want to watch it again, and I would like to urge more people to check it out.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
How
it's.
are they going to check it out at this point? I don't know, because it's like if you wanted to see it, you probably
Yeah.
donated to the Kickstarter, and so therefore you've
Yeah.
already seen it. So yes,
I
if it shows up
know.
at film festival, go and watch it because.
I think eventually they'll put it out as like a DVD that people can just buy, but.
Yeah.
For a little while, it's going to be hard to find it unless you already paid for it.
Yeah, because we've got still got the Blu-rays to come and the T-shirt
Yeah.
in my case. I think that was as
No,
far
I'm not getting any snazzy
as
gear.
it goes.
I got a Vimeo link.
Yeah.
That
I
was
know I've
that.
got the Blu-ray. T-shirt would be cool. I forget how much which
Yeah, I think
rewards I
that you
gave.
may have that as well, because I only went for the Blu-ray originally, and then I think they added the T-shirt afterwards.
Yeah, they bumped everything up one,
Yeah,
right?
for some of the lower ones. So I then got an email saying, "What size T-shirt do you want? Or if you don't fill this form in, we'll send you a large." So
That's
I don't know whether that's how much eating into their money, because unlike other Kickstarters, they didn't put in a international shipping extra amount of money.
cool.
So they're basically wherever you were in the world, you just get the same money and you got the same thing. So,
Yeah, right.
which is fair enough, because I've been put off donating to some Kickstarters. Where you go, I think even going to the next tier on the Little Witch Kickstarter, it was like, oh, then you have to start sending me stuff, and I've got to give you another $10. I think I'll just have the digital download because,
Yeah.
yeah, it's not really comparing to what I paid for Kickart at this point.
Yeah, it's amazing how much more.
You were going to call it Kickstarter there, were you?
I was about to, yes.
Yeah, I've done that.
I wonder if that was intentional.
I suspect it may well be.
It's a strange, it's like half a pun.
Yeah, but I think it probably helped them get sort of more coverage on the Kickstarter site itself, I imagine. Anthony, how about you? Anything else you watched apart?
I did. Well, I've checked out an additional two things. I just want to. I'll quickly mention. I watched Persona 4, the animation, first episode. It's a little slow to start with, but it's picking up, and I think I'm going to quite like it, especially after buying the Persona 4 Arena on Xbox 360, so I'm going to get into that. And I did check out Gatchaman Crowds as well, which I enjoyed it. It's. It kind of. You know, it does what Persona 4 probably should have done a lot quicker. Like, Persona 4 seems to, like, dabble around, like, kind of dodging the question. But this is just straight in, bang. It's great. It's good fun.
Good, good. You fall on the good fun side of the equation, rather.
Yeah, I mean, like, the bits that are meant to be humorous and, like, you know, like, the main character, like, the girl, she's just so ridiculously over the top and over-enthusiastic with stuff. It's good. It's nice. Breath of fresh air from Attack on Titan, I think. which I've not watched for a few weeks.
Yes, because if she was in Attack on Titan, she'd want to. Why are we attacking the Titans? We should listen to them and make friends with them.
She'd already been killed off. You're not allowed happiness in Attack on Titan. Fact.
Anything else? The other thing been watching recently, I watched the first two episodes of the new series of Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
Which I enjoyed a lot. It's I think they're doing 20 this year.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But I just like the fact they have like all the, as well as like the two guests on the couch, they managed to cram loads of other guest stars, both comedy actors and other actors doing comedy into the rest.
Yeah.
Of it. Which
thing that surprises me is that they a lot of the time they'll have these big names come in and just do like 30 seconds as like one of the stage managers or something.
Yeah, actually, yeah, technically three episodes, because I also watched that Sarah Silverman one they put on the YouTube.
Oh, it's Sarah Silverman in one.
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen from the new season so far.
Yeah, I think this Friday, was it, or Thursday, does it come out in America? I think that was the second episode of this season, which was Aziz Ansari. And Fabrice.
Is that a character?
It is, yes. It's one of Nick Kroll's characters.
Ah, nice.
Ah. Yeah, definitely gonna have to check out the rest of that.
Yeah, I need to watch the end of the first season. I can never just, although I probably don't have to watch it, I never jump ahead on stuff. Ever. Ever.
There was a tiny bit of continuity in the second episode of this. Yeah, there's a reference to the Tisk Tisk Attaboy sketch.
Oh, the first I loved episode. That one.
Because they did a sketch that was very similar, and it was produced, I think, by the Tisk Tisk Attaboy Corporation or something. Something along those lines.
It's such a great show.
Oh, disaster. I've completely screwed our podcast up. I didn't watch the weekly retro recap.
Oh, I was panicking. I thought you said you didn't record.
No, I didn't even watch it.
You didn't even watch it?
No.
Well, I want to watch the third episode.
Okay, we're going to watch the third episode then. It was good fun, was it?
It was good fun. To cut a long story short, Astro ends up watching a game of rocket ball in this huge stadium. Tenma possesses one of the players, and then Astro Boy fights him, basically. And that's it. But there's a lot more going on, and Astro is just such a great character. I just want his hairstyle. I might start slicking my hair back and doing them 2 points, but it was good, and I'm definitely want to watch the third episode.
That's right, and I shall actually watch it next week.
That'd be nice. Look at me doing all the heavy lifting.
I know. Well, I voted through Nadja that 1 week where you couldn't be bothered to turn up to the podcast, so I'll let you vote for us.
Which one was that episode?
It was the preview episode I did with Bradley without you.
Oh, right, okay. That was St. Patrick's weekend. I was ill, probably.
Yeah, my brain is full of anime penguins at the moment for the icon panel. I had like a list of 25 and then I added another 25 over this weekend. And it's become incredibly daunting at this point.
Well, are you going to, what's the gist of this? I'm still.
It's good. It's a list of penguins. from the past to the future.
To the future?
Chronological order, yes, there is a future penguin in there as well.
All right.
A penguin who will probably appear in a future show either later this year or early next year.
So are you including every penguin that you've ever found from any anime?
No, and that's the problem. There's some I've left out. I mean, I could leave some out. I was joking on after we recorded the 50th episode of The Secret of the Sailor Madness that I was just going to have a slideshow with pictures and go, penguin, penguin, not a penguin, 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 not a penguin, might be a penguin, we don't know yet. Because I was just getting so many penguins. There's a lot of penguins out there. They're popular.
Are they? I'm not big on penguins. I mean, penguins are all right, but, you know, there's cooler animals you could have.
Are they? They live in the Antarctic, Anthony. That's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. I guess so.
Oh, yeah, anyway, apologies for that disaster of not watching Astro Boy.
Well, you better watch it on episode 3, because the continuity in this, you need to be on the ball.
Okay, and hang on, let me clear my throat.
That's karma, that is. Karma.
Not on to the main topic of the show. Yeah, you could have filled that gap in the air.
No, I wanted everyone to see. I want to feel the guilt.
You want to experience the dead air.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to hear it, so I was waiting for you to clear your throat.
No, I was being polite and having a sip of water to clear it rather than coughing straight into the microphone. Yes, the 1983 film based on the novels of Haruka Takachiyo called Crusher Joe.
Woo!
Directed by Yasuhiko Yoshikazu and produced by... Now, I never know how to pronounce. Is it Studio New or Studio Nue?
I don't have any idea.
No, let's go with Studio New. I think we'll anglicise it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We'll flatten it with our English consonants and vowels. Yes, Studio New. Okay, I take it from Aaron's excitement and the fact that comments on his Tumblr, you had seen this before.
Yeah, I found it on VHS for like $2 years and years ago as the Japanese dub, and I watched it and I liked it. And then I went back to the store where I'd gotten it a couple of weeks later, and they had the English dub, so I picked that up too because it was like $1 or something. And I hadn't watched that until... I hadn't watched it all the way through until pretty recently, but I liked it. I think it's a pretty fun movie.
Now, I had heard of it. I don't think I'd ever seen any of it. How about you, Anthony?
I've never heard of this.
No.
Never heard of it until now. So, fresh feet for this one, I think.
So, yeah, are my expectations going in were any purely based on... my experiences with Dirty Pair, which was created by the same guy, the same studio, some of the same people working on it. I think particularly the animation director of this, Kashima Norio, worked on a fair amount of Dirty Pair stuff. He also was going to be the director of that Tattoo movie, which never got made.
The Tattoo movie?
The what? Russian faux lesbian band. They were going to have an anime.
Oh, right. Made. Oh, seriously?
Yes.
I would kickstart that. They were great. They were.
Okay. So, that was what I was expecting. And it's a little more serious, but only a tiny bit more serious, I'd say, than Dirty Pair in terms of story tone. But in terms of animation, it's pretty much the same. There's lots of...
I'd say the animation's even goofier in this at times.
Yes. It's got that 80s thing where you can tell they're having fun putting in stuff there for a frame or so, and it's got a crazy amount of special guest designers, hasn't it? Like loads of manga artists designed individual characters for it.
Yeah, especially, well, I guess we'll get to it later, but there's one scene in particular with like apparently a whole bunch of cameos.
And even when it's not like designed, but you get feeling that some of the characters are like background characters might be caricatures of people who worked at Studio New or people.
I thought something. Yeah.
It's just there's so much diversity in the background characters that you think they're not just designed, they're not gone to the effort of designing all these individual characters anyway. They're like taking the mickey out of themselves or people they know.
Yeah, I love that. It's really fun.
So let's try and explain what goes on in this film, because I've been watching lots of Rockford Files recently, and this kind of reminded me, if not necessarily the characters, because Joe is far more naive than Jim Rockford would ever be, but in the way that the Crushers are attempted to be manipulated by the various people who are hiring them, reminded me of the Rockford Files a lot.
There's so much manipulation going on.
I don't know who to trust.
So I think we're all going to have to chip in here, because I didn't write down what the plot was, and remembering it may prove quickly. But let's discuss who the Crushers are first. So you've got Joe, who's this 19-year-old son of the guy who founded the Crushers, Crusher Dan, and he's now Crusher Joe. And did they even explain what Crushers are in this?
I think they just say...
These guys are crushers.
It's very general. It's just.
Yeah. I mean, you get to see them do it, but I don't think that's ever. Because I think when we first introduced, they're blowing up an asteroid, which is what supposedly the Crushers are supposed to do.
Ah, right. Okay.
I didn't realize they were literally crushing things. I thought they were just kind of supposed to be this
bounty hunter kind of
group of people who do things that other people can't do.
Yeah, I think that's what it became, but apparently. They started out clearing asteroids out of shipping lanes.
Okay, well, the name makes more sense to me now.
So this current Crusher team are Joe, who's the son of Crusher Dan, Elfin, who was apparently a princess.
It's never mentioned in the movie.
I was going to say, it is
mentioned in the movie. It's when the guy hands them the fake card identifying him as being part of that conglomerate. They comment that she'd know because she used to be a princess.
Yeah, right.
Or at least royal. Some mention of that anyway.
It's a weird plot element, though. It's kind of big, and it doesn't really come up other than that.
No, I think
could have been left out.
Looking at the list of books, I think she is basically introduced in the first book as. They deal with her problem in the first book. And then she ends up joining the team.
Yeah, I wonder how much... I mean, I think there's a lot going on with the characters that isn't really mentioned in the movie, because it's assumed that you've already read the books and familiarized yourself with them.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if there's anything else like that.
So Joe's 19. I think they say I forgot to look what everyone else's ages were. Elfin is a little bit younger than him. And there's Talos, who's in his 50s.
He's awesome.
He's the best character, I think.
He really is.
So funny.
Kind of looks a bit like a Frankenstein's monster, for reasons which become clear later on.
Yeah.
And he was on the original Crusher team with Crusher Dan. Ricky, who's the youngest, and is like...
I thought it was a girl.
Yeah, wait.
For like 20 minutes.
It really? Is voiced by a woman who's, I think she's quite a famous voice actress. I think she was, what's the kid called in Doraemon?
The main kid?
Yeah, the main kid. I think she played him.
Forget.
But
I know
what
you mean, though, with the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she, yeah, so, but yeah, she does sound really female in this rather than teenage boy voice. and Dongo, the robot.
I wanted more Dongo.
Yeah. Wait, did you guys watch it with the Japanese or English?
I watched the Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
Because in the English one, he's played by a computer voice, like where you type in the words and then the computer reads them.
What, like Sam, Microsoft Sam?
Yeah. Just like that. God. I loved that.
And he also served in the same crew as Talos and Crusher Dan.
Oh, backstory. He. I would like more of him. I would like Dongo Unchained. It would be great.
He's only got like 3 or 4 lines in the whole movie. Yeah. He seems like such an afterthought.
He's busy reading his porno mags. He hasn't got time to talk. But we don't meet them, first of all. First of all, we meet these truck drivers who are being harassed by people who seem to be trying to hijack their... vehicle. One of them dies, but they finally get their load to where they're taking it. And the load appears to be a woman who has been cryogenically frozen.
Ooh.
But apparently they can't leave because there's something going on at the spaceport. Then we meet the Crushers. They're being hired by a guy who claims to be representing some sort of conglomerate and claims that the woman who's been cryogenically frozen is the heir to this conglomerate. And they need to get her quickly to this medical facility off planet.
She's going to die.
Or she's going to die.
They need to get her to a specific doctor, isn't it?
Yes, something like that, yeah. However, this all turns out to be a lie.
The first of many.
Then they head off with her and about to go into warp space when the warp space breaks down.
This is what really caught me off guard, because I was expecting something really like kind of textbook sci-fi with like all the kind of jazz you would expect to see, and I was like, oh, hold on, is something going wrong here at this point? I don't know, it kind of caught me off guard, and perhaps I overhyped what the actual going on was, but yeah. Because it's a bit scary, this bit. I thought they were all going to die.
Yes,
or at least a good chunk of them. Movie.
Mm. It's like 15 minutes in.
It's only a long film totally to wrong. Have them killed off.
Yeah, the pacing is my main... If I had to make criticism of it, the pacing is a little weird.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I was getting to the 90 minutes, and I was thinking, well, it must be wrapping up soon. Oh, what, is another, there's another 40 minutes to go.
I don't think I've ever actually watched it all the way through at once, I have to admit.
This is a bit where I'm not sure I was paying enough attention. So what happens here? There's something involving pirates and the Space Force.
Oh, yeah, so after the warp jump, they end up, the USF come and claim them. And they claim that the Crushers are pirates. And Crusher Joe's like, no, we're not. And they try to prove that they've got this contract to move this... cargo, and the cargo is missing,
and
as is the contract, money and all that kind of stuff is missing as well. So they get taken prisoner.
And this is where we meet the overzealous guy in charge of the this particular fleet, who is played by Goro Naya, I believe. Zenigard.
Is that a favorite?
Oh, I wish I'd watched the Japanese.
Yeah, you lost. You got Microsoft Sam. Look what we got.
I like the bit where he's speaking to. I don't think we've seen him yet. He's just in the shadows, and he Bard,
the spy guy,
who also used to be in Crusher Dan's crew. Yeah, where he gets really excited that you might get a chance to shoot something, and then runs into the door before it's had a chance to open.
I like when he's talking to Talos at one point, and he blows smoke out of his mouth, and it's like this huge cloud of smoke, like 10 times bigger than his head, and it's really thick.
And so they get sent back, and he gets chewed. Joe gets chewed out by his dad.
Oh, his dad's a right dick.
Yeah,
his dad. Like, I thought it's like when they're like, "Oh, you're gonna meet your dad." I was expecting this complete badass, but he's really not. He's really not. We'll let them.
And yeah, he gets suspended for 6 months. So they go to the disco and get drunk.
Oh, I think that might be my favorite. Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, this is my favorite scene.
This is really good.
I think
anime when people are drinking and getting boozed up is always a tickle.
Fighting is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, I love that Talos is wearing a business suit in the disco, because he doesn't wear it any other point in the movie.
I didn't pick up on that.
But there's so much funny stuff happening in that fight. I mean, the dancing alone is good. It's like some of that background animation is almost as good as the dancing in A Charlie Brown Christmas. It's such weird dancing.
Have you seen the Eurosatsura episode where they go to the disco and conjure various monsters doing? Yeah, because that's kind of also what it reminded me a little of, because it's around the same time. But obviously this one's animated better, but it still takes the advantage of disco animation where you can use the strobe effect to avoid having to get any in-betweens whatsoever. Which works, because it makes it look like a disco.
Yeah, it's a good effect.
But yeah, you also get revealed that Elfin can't hold a drink.
Yeah, not at all.
She undergoes like a sip. complete personality. I was trying to figure out who she reminded me of, and it's a bit of, reminds me a little bit of Ran from Heroes Sora, in that sort of switch between being all sweetness and light, and then being fairly mean-spirited and violent. Because she can handle herself perfectly well, but sometimes she tries to act more feminine around Joe, both when she's drunk and also when she's sober later on.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this disco fight scene is great.
Yeah, this is when all like the guys are just tumbling in at Talos, and he's just like bopping them out away, and it's such a weird turn from like the quite serious story to this so balmy party. It's great.
And I love the part where Talos is looking to the left, and then this giant hammer comes down on his head from the right, and he just turns around, his arm stretches out, and he grabs them and throws them or something.
Yeah. I like when the scenery starts coming alive as well with the
Fleischer cartoon or something.
Yeah, the lights
spitting people out.
Yeah, and the bin. They throw a load of people into the bin, and the bin licks its lips.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. And then Bard shows up and gives them a clue as to where how they might be able to clear their name.
Which guy? Oh, is that the spy guy?
Yeah, it's Talos's old colleague with the turned up collar. apparently the pair of them had fought over possibly Kay from the Dirty Pair in their past. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that at all.
No, it's not mentioned in this at all. But there's a Dirty Pair novel where Dirty Pair and the Crusher Dan crew appear together. And then I think more recently he's written a version of it where it's told from the Crusher Dan side.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was fan, because Joe's mother is called Yuria, and so therefore fans were like, oh, is that Yuri from Dirty Pair? But apparently that is not so.
Oh.
That was a red herring, which apparently said is not the case. Yes, I don't know whether the K they were fighting over is the Dirty Pair one or not. She is described as a feisty redhead on this Wikipedia page, so
that's probably her. They don't usually give two characters different names. I mean, the same name if they're supposed to be different characters.
Yeah, unless you're trying to fake it out because it's only mentioned in the past.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because apparently, Talos was in love with Kay, and then Bard got between them and married Kay, and then eventually they got divorced as well. So. Yeah, so that's why they're a bit gruff to each other in the film. They're not pally-pally because they don't necessarily... Well, Talos doesn't necessarily trust Bard. And fair enough, because he's not to be trusted.
No.
This is the thing. It just, and there's bits of this which are really 80s, like the, look, a space shuttle, a bit we get later on. But bits of it feel very 70s with that sort of vague distrust of corporations and governments, and you've got a character like Bard who is on the side of good, but he's not above manipulating everybody else who's on the side of good.
Speaking of Dirty Pair, would you advise watching Dirty Pair? Because it's not something I've ever watched.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dirty Pair is good.
Is it similar to this in a lot of ways or not?
Somewhat.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more consistently goofy with the main characters.
Oh, that's
at least
good.
It has a similar naming thing. So in the first episode of the TV show, they're sent to shut down a computer called Brian, which endlessly amused Miss Me on the subtitles, where it's like, Brian is going out of control.
I'll check it out.
Because somebody else gets mentioned as a character you don't see, but they do mention Crusher Kevin at some point.
Crusher Kevin. What a wild guy.
Yeah, I think, Anthony, if you're going to watch The Dirty Pair, the movie Project Eden is probably a good place to start with that.
Okay.
I think a lot of people consider that to be like one of the best outings in the series.
Yeah, we probably will do an episode on that once Gary's bought the... Because he wants to do an episode on The Dirty Pair.
Can you actually buy the DVDs over here?
Can you? You can get them on import from Nozomi. Have got, I think, everything Dirty Pair out at this point.
Yeah, they even re-released the stuff that was not too recent or not too long ago was still available.
Is it expensive?
They just put out the TV again in a new set, so I think you can get it just over £20 for 13 episodes on DVD from United Publications.
That's decent.
Something like that. I've got all the original stuff. I haven't got Dirty Pair Flash because I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I think I'm missing one half of the TV series, and yeah, I'm not going to get Flash just because it's pretty different. Not the kind of thing I'm interested in.
It gives them a clue where they might want to go to this planet called, was it Falgol? Or system called Falgol?
I can't remember.
I forget.
Something along those lines.
Largol?
Falgol.
It's the system which isn't part of the Space Federation and has no immigration rules, so basically...
The gangster planet.
It's become the hive of villainy. So they decide that, well, if we've been sent home to their home planet, we'll just take a circuitous route and visit this system while we're on our way home. That won't get us into trouble at all. And then after they've gone on their merry way, Bard then contacts Garu Naya's character and goes, well, you might have a chance to shoot something soon. Follow those pushers. But they can't actually interfere because it's outside their jurisdiction. But they are basically going there and waiting while the Crushers run into all sorts of trouble. They have to go and go through security. Apparently, if you're a visitor, you need your ships checked out. And while they're there, they're spotted by a couple of these pirates. And these are the Murphy Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Big Murphy.
Norma. Well, we don't meet Big... We meet Norma here, and who's the other guy?
Nero,
that's it.
The guy with the white hair?
No, that's Killier, isn't it? I think.
Killy or Kelly. No,
I couldn't keep track of the bad guys' names.
They're one of the four Murphys, though. That's all there is to know.
Killy.
Killy.
Yeah, because there's basically Murphy's got four main henchmen. Killy, who is the albino, Nero, Rocky, who is the huge bruiser with very little brains, and Norma.
I like Rocky the best.
Yeah, I like Rocky.
Oh, yeah, and because as the Crushers arrive, we also see that the guy who hired them is also here with these pirates, Valanstinos. And he goes, that's not just any Crushers showing up. That's the Crushers I hired to move that woman. And so, yeah, so Norma and Nero both decide on their own accord that they're going to kill these guys before they can get to the planet. However, that does not go as planned. So as they leave the space station, they go into a dogfight, at which point this is... I think we've seen all the ships before, but particularly we should just the Minerva, which is the main ship that the Crushers fly, is like, it almost looks like a jet fighter, which then has two jet fighters inside it, with smaller jet fighters which come out. And unsurprising, this is Shoji Kawamori has done the mecha design on this show, because it's like, I like drawing jet fighters in the 80s.
The way the ships move is pretty cool. The animation of them is really nice and solid.
Yeah,
that looks great, yeah.
And the rest of the ships aren't all jet fighter. It is pretty much just the Crushers, which are obviously wee jet fighters. But yeah, you get a nice dogfight, which the Crushers sort of win at the expense of crashing their ship and getting separated from each other.
Yeah.
So at this point you've got Joe and Alfin are alone in a jungle. They don't know where, and Talos and Ricky and Dongo have taken the Minerva to the local spaceport, and it's on fire. And I think Nero and Norma's ships have also crashed, and they start hunting them through the jungle.
And these little jetpacks.
Yes.
But and they run into some jungle monsters too, right?
Yes, they do. Everything on this planet apparently only has one eye as well. Because there's a giant clawed gorilla with one eye we see here, and then later on, we see some one-eyed rats.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they had one eye.
Though Murphy's mascot character does have two eyes.
Little Salacious Crumb type
guy. Yeah, he weirdly reminds me of Simon's cat, the way it moves.
I can see that, yeah.
Because with the big bug eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, reminded me a little of that. So Ricky, Nero bites it here. Norma escapes. And so do Joe. And Joe and Alfin are rescued by Talos, and Ricky have come along in a government ship because the government have offered to fix the Minerva for them. As we get to the next bit of manipulation.
This is only like 45 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not very far in.
No, it's not. As they now get manipulated by the, was he the president of this system?
Yeah.
He's whoever's in charge.
Yeah, let's find his name here. His name is...
Mardola. Terrible with names, but I was close.
And yeah, so he wants them to take care of these pirates in return for sorting out the ship. And he'll give them the location of the guy they're looking for, which is Valenstinos, who they think can clear them of being pirates themselves. And yeah, they go back and forth a bit, but they eventually agree to help him out. And this all takes place in a drive-in movie where everyone's watching a Dirty Pair movie.
Yeah.
But those character designs are based on the novel art rather than what they'll eventually look like when they get their own.
Yeah, they look a lot. I think they look a lot better once they get redesigned for their own series and stuff. It's more distinctive.
But yeah, in terms of the novels, the Crushers came first, and then the Dirty Pair later. And despite what it says in the Anime Encyclopedia, Crusher Joe is not named after the wrestling tag team, the Crush Girls, because that is a physical impossibility. Because they did not exist in the 70s. Now, whether they were named after the wrestler, the Crusher, that, I don't know. That could be the case.
What, from Looney Tunes?
No. Oh, he could be named after that, him as well. But there was a wrestler called the Crusher who did wrestle in Japan in the 70s.
Oh, in Americans. Japan, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was an American. What's this guy? I don't know whether he'd be the right... age to have been the influence on the Looney Tunes either. Crusher wrestler. Reginald Lizowski. born 1926. Ah, there was other Crushers, though. So, Crusher Blackwell. He's younger. That's Jerry Blackwell.
Maybe it's just a common name for wrestlers.
Yeah, I subscribe to the Wrestling Observer, and there's a guy who does a podcast, Carl Stern, and he does like historical wrestling stuff going back to the Pioneer era. So going back to when Abraham Lincoln was wrestling.
Wow.
And he was doing something recently about how nicknames for wrestlers were reused in different territories. So if you were wrestling, you're going from one territory to another where someone already used the same nickname you normally used, you might be given a different nickname in that territory. Crusher in 1959, so now probably the Looney Tunes Crusher came before that, I would guess.
Yeah, I think it was like 50 or something, 51.
Yeah. And that is our Crusher tangent to take care of.
Phew.
Where were we? Oh yeah, so they agree to go in and raid. So they come with this plan where this is fairly audacious considering there's only 5 of them. And only 4 of them appear to be going on this mission to begin with.
Who's the fifth?
Dongo.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay.
He's Plan C.
Yeah, I guess he is, yeah. Okay.
So Ricky and Talos will provide a distraction from this basically military base full of heavily armed pirates. And Joe and Alfin will sneak in.
And then when they're caught, they say, oh, we're a distraction too. You haven't caught the real people going in.
All this is very exciting. Obviously. Yeah. So we're not giving it credit where it's due here. It is exciting, but just getting there.
I think Talos fights the big Rocky here, right?
Yeah, so it's his first, but it's sort of cut short because they're fairly well surrounded. They don't really get into a big brawl. Yes, it doesn't go very well, but Joe and Alfin manage to rescue the woman. Oh, yes, because Joe's basically decided he'd do this mission because the president wanted Murphy killed, but Joe was saying, I'm not an assassin, I'll bring him back alive for you.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be part of the deal. So they completely failed to do that, but they do rescue the woman who turns out to be... can you either of you remember her name?
I don't remember her name.
Matua.
Yeah, that's it.
And apparently she was a scientist who was working on this new warp drive. And the big difference...
Which can control other ships, right?
Yeah, this was it could be operated from outside, which is apparently how these pirates have been hijacking ships by doing what they did to the Crusher's Minerva.
So we finally get explained as to what happened at that stage. And I was like, yes, finally. I thought they were just going to brush under the carpet.
I think it's pretty good. It does pretty much explain everything. And it does it fairly promptly. It doesn't take a long time to explain everything. It just takes a long time to get to the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even at the end, I think it wraps up fairly nicely, pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
But then again, they're chased through the jungle by... sort of hand-me-down AT-STs from Star Wars.
And Talos and Ricky are prisoner at this point.
Yeah, oh yes, they're chained up, being tortured. And also, but there's a lot of torture in this as well.
This is where you first see Big Murphy as well.
Yes. Yeah, he's been in the shadows with just like his little pet up to this point.
Is it an iguana or a chameleon?
I think it's just
an alien.
Alien
thingy.
Oh, yeah. I guess we are in space. Aliens are allowed.
Yes. So eventually, despite all their running, Joe, Alfin, and Matua also get captured. They choose not to torture Joe and Alfin all that much and just throw them in the... Oh, we get to see Talos how honourable he is as well, though. He basically prevents them from torturing Ricky by mouthing off.
Oh, that's great.
At Rocky. Every time he's about to torture Ricky.
There's a great bit where he's covered in like bruises and blood and whatnot, and he just shrugs it all off and they put a little sparkle across his face.
Yeah,
as he taunts Rocky to give him a better massage or something along those lines. But,
yeah.
I do like that scene, actually. It's pretty gruesome, considering, you know... Then again, there's lots of killing going on. There's ships getting exploded left, right, and centre, so I guess it's not that bad. The death count in this film must be monstrous.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. Particularly when we get to the bit coming up.
Oh, God.
They torture Matua by... Well, Norma wants to whip her, and she tends to seem to want to whip everybody. But Kitty comes up with the idea of making her a flashback to when the rest of the scientists... were killed when they raided their research place. And then she agrees that she'll help them work on their drive. So the Crushers decide to escape, which is incredibly easy because Talos is a gigantic cyborg who can just rip his arms off these chains.
Oh, yeah. Chains
up to him without any problems.
I'm not sure whether this is in the Japanese version too, but in the English version, when Joe is telling him to use his laser gun arm thing to shoot the door, he whispers something in his ear, and then Talos says, "You want me to whip it out, huh?"
No, I don't think that was it.
Yeah, I wish it was, though.
There's some added comedy in the English version. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so he takes his hand off, and there's a sort of machine gun which blows a huge hole, which isn't quite... he pretends that he's going to leave Ricky behind, which is pretty good. Because the conversation goes on and on and on without mentioning Ricky whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then eventually he says, "What about me?" And then Talos gets stuck in the hole and Ricky has to help him out. Meanwhile, so they go with plan C, which is to call... what's his face? Dongo.
Dongo.
Who stops reading his porn magazines and presses a button. and launches a huge amount of missiles at this place.
What a legend.
Yeah, it was like an Italo circus with where the thing you were targeting was staying perfectly still. There was nothing who was going to dodge these at all. Yeah, and this is probably the first point at which a massive amount of people are killed.
Oh, like every pirate in the universe, if they're on that planet, would have been wiped out. Unless you're underground. It's ridiculous.
Have we missed the... I can't remember which point the trash compactor bit falls. Oh, is it after this? Yeah, it's after this. Cause all,
I think it's
all,
after,
all three,
it's when they're trying to escape still.
Yeah, they're trying to escape, and... yeah, they find themselves in some sort of Star Wars trash compactor type scenario. Where basically these guys are just feeding all their rubbish into a big acid pit they've built.
Oh, that seems great. Right out of Star Wars.
And this is where Norma meets her comeuppance as she gets overconfident with her whip. And it's hard to describe. It's like got all this machinery which seems to be moving around at random. And that's pretty much how they die. It's not like Joe cunningly beats her or anything.
It's just pure luck.
Yes. And yes, more people die hideously. No, it's not like, I mean, maybe later on, if there was an OAV, somebody would have animated that in disgusting detail as people's skin was eaten by acid. But here it's kind of done in silhouette, isn't it?
Thank goodness. God. Phew.
And then they all get... All the other three were perfectly... We don't see how they escape this trash area that just run into them after he's escaped the acid area.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, Killy, Murphy, Rocky... And our scientist friend are heading up to... Oh, what's it called? It's named after something.
Oh, it's a
big
Big gap.
Murphy's giant base there.
Yeah.
In space.
His
that's
big,
what it's called.
His space gap.
Big Murphy as a villain. He's all over the place. He's got like a gangster kind of name. He looks like some sort of mystical wizard guy. And then in his base, he's got an army of soldiers giving him the Nazi salute. What is he supposed to be?
A lot going on.
Yeah, he has two armies of pirates as well. One on the planet, one off the planet. In a
he's got the backup.
Yeah.
Backup army.
Yeah, so they head on chase after them. Running to another dogfight, they barely survive when, basically, at this point, Mardola's had enough of the Crushers. They haven't managed to do anything yet, so he calls in, he agrees to get the Federation to send their fleet, which Handley is waiting nearby. Oh, yeah, also Bard shows up, doesn't he, to rescue the Crushers from getting shot, because he's gone on ahead in his crappy spaceship, which I believe is what the Admiral calls it. And meanwhile, everything inside the place is going crazy, starts using this warp drive to take care of the Imperial fleet by dropping spaceships onto the planet below.
Wow.
And all the while Matua is saying, don't do it, you'll cause a permanent damage to the space-time fabric. And then eventually Rocky has had enough.
Yeah, that's a weird moment. It seems like he's going to become a good guy, but instead he kills Murphy and then says, no, now I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, because all the while Murphy and Killy have been wondering, how do the Crushers know about this base? And there must be a leak. Got to find the leak. Because they've been torturing them, basically, to find out who's leaked. And the Crushers have absolutely no idea. Absolute waste of time. And it turns out Rock is the leak. Which is odd, because he's one of the people doing the torturing.
Yeah. He's doing a convincing job.
Well, I think he's so stupid he doesn't realise he's the leak.
Yeah.
Because basically Mardola's promised him that if he takes care of Murphy, Rocky can be in charge. They can become the Rocky Pirates instead.
Yeah. When he kills Big Murphy, in the English dub at least, his line is, you have insulted me for the last time, and that's not nice.
It's probably something very similar for the subs I watched.
So he puts many, many holes into Murphy, and he falls off another Star Wars influenced bit of scenery.
Yeah. And that's the most gruesome scene.
Well,
is it a bit before this or not?
I was going to say the most gruesome scene where he then shoots the Murphy's pet too.
Yeah,
I didn't like that. There's no need for that.
They could have just shot a laser and had it have it like phase into nothing, but no, it is shot to pieces.
It's shot up into little pieces.
Yeah, I thought when the shot was because the shot went down to like the little yellow creature at the edge of the platform, and I thought, oh, he's just going to go and kick it off the platform. That'll be it. But no, he just shoots it down till there's like a tail left, and then he shoots the tail in half as well.
Yeah.
It's got a cracking shot, but harsh.
Unfortunately, he's also put loads of holes in the warp drive thing, and it's going crazy. And then we get, this is basically what gives, I think, the novel adaptation of the film, which is called Rainbow Hell. And that's basically what is this is producing now, this huge rip in space-time, which they have to go and fix. And luckily they do.
How do they fix it again? Just by pulling the lever?
I can't remember at this point. There's Killy gets into a fight as well with some people. There's some more Star Wars stuff with collapsing walkways.
Yeah. Oh, he dies quite brutally as well, Killy. How does he die?
Yeah, I can't recall.
Crushers are in this weird, like, forklift thing, and then they just squash him against a wall. the digger side of this lift. Can you not remember that bit?
I can't.
I don't either.
I definitely didn't dream it, that's for sure. But he's in this like weird mech suit. Yeah. They blow off the helmet piece with some rockets, and it's him driving it, and then they just plow him into this wall.
Oh, yes, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because they're in like a tank type thing.
That's right, yeah.
I remember the helmet getting blown off, yeah.
It's pretty gruesome. They're harsh to these pirates. To the scourge of the earth, the scourge of the universe, they're really harsh to them.
Yeah, you don't see. I'm just having a look at it now. Yeah, you don't see. But it is pretty. They just sort of show the tank tracks going up, and then they're up for a while, and then they slowly relax back down. As if to say,
look what we just did.
It's tastefully done.
Look without looking at what we just did.
That'll teach him for being albino in popular culture.
So I wish there'd been as kind of. You know, nice to do with the iguana death. Nobody needs to see that.
That's
like
the saddest moment in the whole movie.
That and Jojo's dog dying in Jojo's Bizarre Adventure. It's on par with that. Yikes. Cruelty to animals in anime. That's a panel right there. There's a con panel. Not many people would agree, but there you go. Cruelty to penguins in anime.
Cliff after cliff of animals being abused.
Maimed, shot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, you're quite right. There is just a lever pulled at one point. All sorts of things.
Matua, is that her name? She gets shot too, right? And dies?
Yeah, she dies.
Yeah. Oh, she actually dies, does she?
Yes.
Yeah, she dies in Joe's arms, and he says, "Don't do this to me." In the dub, at least.
What's Joe's voice like in the dub? Is it goofy? Or...
No, it's good. The dub overall is pretty good. I mean, they add a few jokes here and there, and some of the gag characters, I mean, some of the incidental characters have goofy voices, like one of the bureaucrats is an impression of Droopy Dog, but Joe's voice is pretty good. It's sort of natural sounding. It doesn't sound like somebody doing an anime dub voice, really.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I can guess which character sounded like Droopy Dog.
He's got two lines or something.
Yeah,
is it talking to her in an elevator or something early on.
Okay. Oh no, I thought it might have been the guy who follows the president around. He's got an interest. He's got a design which makes it look like he should have a Droopy Dog voice.
That'd been good.
So basically they've let the Federation in, which turns out to have been Bard's plan all along. So basically because. Yeah, apparently the president was part of the pirate crew.
Well, he was actually part of the crew originally.
That's basically what Bard and Joe say to him. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, so this entire thing was basically just to get them to open up their borders to the Federation so Bard could come in with the warrant for his arrest. So a massive amount of manipulation.
Yeah.
Of which Jerry's not happy, so he socks Bard in the face.
Oh, God, he takes it.
And, yeah, then you get the scene with Bard and Crusher Dan and going, he's basically saying, yeah, your plan for suspending him worked. So, in fact, it was all his dad's idea, this entire thing.
So why was his, like, his father so kind of mean to Joe? Was it ever really mentioned?
I don't think they really say.
No, I think it was just too, because I assume he knew that if he did that, then he would go off in a strop and go and do all these other things.
Well, he goes on holiday, doesn't he? Pretty much. And drives along a long road.
Yes, in their specially designed date costumes.
Yes.
Date costumes?
Yeah, there was somebody that was credited a special guest designer for date wear.
All right, so presuming that the clothes they wear at the end. Wow. I wonder what Talos and Ricky were doing at that point.
I think it says, I think Alfin says they've gone back to working on the Minerva or something.
Oh, that's right, yeah. They're so dedicated to the cause.
Yeah.
Plus, that makes sense. Makes sense. And Dongo was probably just reading porn.
Yeah, as always.
So, yeah, what do you think, Anthony, overall?
As Aaron said, it's something that you might have to watch in two parts. You might need a break in the middle, as he says, he's never watched it all the way through. But it is really good. It's very exciting. It's a shame that it's very long-winded, but I don't know if there was any other way around it without cutting out like a huge part of the plot. Because there's a lot going on. There's a lot to it. And I really enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fun, but it's just the plot gets so complicated that you'd think there must have been an easier way of telling this story without having quite so many scenes.
There's a few scenes where you just see stars and stuff, and I think, right, it's going to cut somewhere else now. And it doesn't cut. It remains on the stars for an additional, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah,
there's
some
a bit where Norma, you know, when they're all in the little flying things when they get them in the jungle. Like, she's flying towards them instead of cutting to them in prison or whatever it is. They just have her flying towards them slowly. For ages.
Yeah, I think there's probably somehow it does feel like there's one too many chases through a jungle.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, it's just the pacing seems a little off. But yeah, there's so much stuff to enjoy. And it's one of those things where it feels like I wouldn't have been the right audience for it in 1983. So it does feel like a little bit older than I am. But not so old in the 70s that you haven't got the screaming 70s designs.
Yeah,
I'm surprised it's not had the live action at some point. Because I don't know, it strikes me as something that would probably work.
I was going to say, maybe if they ever make that Cowboy Bebop live action film, somebody can get the Crusher Joe rights chief and make a live action Crusher Joe.
Oh, well, if Cowboy Bebop works, they'll instantly be jumping on everything. So yeah,
do the Asylum films.
Yeah,
the guys who did Snakes on a Train and stuff.
Oh.
They'll have the Crusher Joe anime adaptation as the live action movie 2 days before the Cowboy Bebop movie would open.
Yeah, because there's something in the dynamic which definitely reminded me of Cowboy Bebop, particularly Talos.
Yeah, he's a
corresponding
lot like
with Jet Black
feeling.
Yeah,
he doesn't have the sort of motherly side that Jet seems to have. He's sort of like a straight version of Jet. I mean, straight as a character, not not in his orientation. I mean, like he doesn't have that extra side of him being all
worried,
eternal towards the other characters.
You can't imagine Talos having a set of plants
in his
quarters on the Minerva.
Talos is hilarious. I don't know how many of the lines that I laughed at were just for the dub or whether they were in the original, but
a
lot of funny stuff.
See the dub now. Oh, God.
He's pretty good fun in the original.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but particularly that bit I pointed out before where he makes out he's going to leave Ricky behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, of the voices, Ricky is the one which stands out as being a little odd. It just sounds so female.
See, I quite like it. I don't know what they were trying to go for, because I legitimately thought it was a girl character at the beginning.
Yeah, it works eventually. I think once you get used to it. And I do like the designs are so good as well.
Oh yeah, all the characters look great.
Ricky's voice in the dub is pretty bad. That's the one thing I didn't like about it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think it's a woman playing him, but sometimes rather than sounding like a woman playing him, it sounds like a guy just doing a squeaky voice or something. It's really strange. And he has sort of a reappearing and disappearing vaguely New York-y accent. Like when he gets mad at Talos, he starts going like, "Hey, what are you talking about?" and stuff like that. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, that sounds great. It does.
Yeah, I don't know who or what. What's her name? The female lead.
Alfin.
Yeah, Alfin? I don't know the actress. I don't think she's done much other anime, so I'm wondering what she was famous for, if anything, at this point. Whether she was just like an idol cast in the female lead, as so often happened. And still does occasionally. Or whether she was famous for something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get Google Translate to bring it up. I think what else I wanted to mention?
I think this it feels a lot like a sort of a pulpy story, like a very like an old science fiction serial or something. Almost like Flash Gordon or Buck Rogers, maybe, just because there's so many. It's like every 15 minutes the story veers off in a different direction, they get manipulated again, and there's a new bad guy introduced. So it feels like if you broke it up into chunks like a serial, it would probably work pretty well.
Yeah.
Anessa, sorry, I'm using the wiki name for her. But apparently the places call her Anessa. But yeah, I don't know. Kan Sakai. Don't know. That is the only credit she's got. Apparently, it's Crusher Joe. Oh no, she was also a voice on something else, an episode of something called "We'll Teach You How to Dirty Pair."
Oh,
an episode called "We'll Teach You How to Kill a Computer," which I think might be the first episode.
That's the first one, yeah.
Yeah,
Computer Brian.
Yes. No, my brain has gone blank. Yeah, the thing it reminded me of, it wouldn't have been out of place, I think, in 2000 AD, in the early 80s, because it kind of reminded me of some things like that, and just like the sort of science fiction with comedy and action. And the thing it kind of tonally reminded me a little of was Harry Harrison's Stainless Steel Rat books, which I devoured when I was a kid. And that might be why I'm connecting to 2000 AD, because that had a 2000 AD adaptation as well. Particularly the Bard character, there's a character in the Stainless Steel Rat books who basically manipulates the Stainless Steel Rats, and they sort of try and out-manipulate each other. And that kind of reminded me of him a little bit as well.
What's that thing called? Stainless Steel Rats?
Stainless Steel Rat, yes. Mm. It's about the last criminal. Basically, yeah, the main character, Slippery Jim DeGrizz, he is supposedly the last criminal in the universe. Or at least that's what he thinks he is. And so the first book involves him being captured and then put to work in this organization of where all the other criminals are working, which is basically this government organization which requires people with less than moral skills to take care of problems.
So it's got that kind of same sort of non-specific protagonist. They don't have any real set job. They just, whatever people want us to do, we'll do.
Yes, that's probably where I'm forming the connection. And also, between, I can't remember. Harold Peters Inskip is the character. He's director of the Special Corps. And that was kind of who Bard was reminding me a little of.
Hmm.
But that may just be because I don't read many science fiction books, and that's one of the few science fiction books I've read. and there's two OEVs which I've not seen. Have you seen those? Is there any good?
I tried watching them, and I just didn't find them that interesting. I think they're a lot more. I mean, you might like them. They're not bad. It's just there's not too much really character interaction in them. It's more just even more than this, it's just, here's the story, you know, let's get through it quickly because there's a lot of story. So each scene is just, there's no room for funny stuff or anything.
Yeah, it's a different director as well, so it's...
Yeah, I think they were done a few years later, like at the end of the 80s.
Yeah, what else has this director done? Yasuhiko Yoshikazu. Oh, two big things I wrote down. Giant Gorg, which really needs... Somebody needs to subtitle all of that or release that on streaming or something. Giant Gorg is so good.
What the hell is it about?
Giant Gorg? Is that one of the Gorgs in Fraggle Rock?
It's about the island of Mu and a robot that a bunch of archaeologists find, or anthropologists, I can't remember. Anyway, one character is based on Woody Allen. It's probably...
I'm in.
It needs to be translated now.
I think some people have fan-subbed some of the early episodes. And he also did Venus Wars as well.
This looks great. Oh, Venus Wars is good. Yeah, I'm looking at this picture of Giant Gorg, and there's a guy in
like
a giant...
Pink... He looks like a beast.
There's a giant pink penis costume.
Oh, I'm not looking at the same one you are.
I was going to say, is that from my site, perhaps?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that I put that up as like, is this a possible joke about somebody? It's not a penis, it's a nose. Come on.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, Aaron.
I was wondering why it was between two eyes.
It does look like it. I wish it was a penis now.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to look like a penis, but they put two eyes around it to make it look like a nose.
Could be a nose. If it's a penis, there's something wrong with one of the testicles because it's way bigger than the other.
If you haven't got anything else to say about this, I have a game for us to play.
Oh, bring it.
Let's play the game.
Come at me.
This game is called Gojo.
Is this a recurring one? Is this a...
There's probably only one time where you could play this. But there is a variable scoring option here. So, it's AL and AA for my scoring. Okay, so I'm going to name you a Joe. If you could name the show they come from straight away without a clue, you'll get 2 points. If you need a clue, you'll get 1 point.
Okay.
So we'll start with Aaron. Joe Yabuki.
It's not from Crusher Joe. Is it... what's that show that Osamu Dezaki worked on in the 70s? Had a character named Joe. I think there was like a version of the ending credits that had like a song called Hey Joe or something. Oh, what was that show? Tomorrow's Joe.
You are correct.
Oh, yes. Well played. Damn it. I wouldn't have got it, but...
Yeah. Okay, Anthony.
Yeah?
Jojo.
Is it Jojo? Oh, of course. It's going to be a dodgy trick question here. I don't want to risk losing the point. I'm going to take the clue.
Okay, he's part of an organization of criminal gourmets.
Oh, is it from Toriko?
You are correct. That's a point. Yes. Okay, back to Aaron. Joe Okada.
Is he from Digimon?
He's not, no.
Oh.
I'm going to take the clue. I don't get even a chance.
Oh, no, you can chance to steal it, yeah. You can take the clue.
I'll take the clue.
He's a magical man in a magical girl's show.
Oh, didn't we discuss this last week? Oh, I'm sure we did. Or a few... I don't know.
It's he's from Doki Doki Pretty Cure.
That has been mentioned, him, though.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned him at some point. Okay, this is your one, Anthony.
Yep.
Joe Higashi.
Is he from Fatal Fury?
You are correct.
Yeah.
Okay, back to you, Aaron. Joe Kido.
Oh, he's from Digimon.
You are correct.
Yes.
Oh, we're doing pretty well at this.
Anthony.
Yes.
Joseph Joestar.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
You are correct. Aaron.
Yes.
Joseph Carpenter.
I'll take the hint, I guess.
He works for the British Library.
He's from an anime?
Yeah.
I have to pass.
I know where it is. Is it Read or Die?
It is, yes.
Oh.
Is that Joker?
That's Joker from Read
or Die. Oh, I'm good.
Oh.
Okay, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Jones.
Joey Jones. I'll take the clue, please.
He's a Puerto Rican student undergoing space training.
Oh, Space Brothers.
No.
Oh, okay.
Aaron?
Robotech?
No, he's from Stelvia.
Huh.
Okay, Aaron, yours. Okay. Joey Wheeler.
Name sounds familiar. I'll take the hint.
He's a blonde-haired duelist.
Yu-Gi-Oh?
You are correct.
Damn it, I would have got that one.
Okay, Anthony.
Yeah.
Joe, oh hang on, I'm going to take a run up at this name. Joe Umitsubame.
Oof. I'll take the clue.
He could be mistaken for Hayato Jin.
Hayato Jin. I don't know.
Aaron, do you know who Joe Umitsubame is?
Is he from Samurai Champloo?
No, he's from Gekiganga 3. Or I'm taking Nadesco, where Gekiganga 3 appears.
Mm.
Okay, next up is Aaron. Here's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Joe.
Just Joe?
Just Joe.
Is he from Crash and Joe?
You can take a clue if you like.
I'll take the clue then, yeah.
He's a video game superhero, or he turns into a superhero in this video game, but he also has anime.
Beautiful Joe.
Oh,
you are correct.
Damn it! Oh, doesn't he keep me laptop off there?
Okay, Aaron. Oh, no, Anthony.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah. Joe Asakura.
Joe Asakura. Is that Hajime no Ippo?
No.
Oh, shit.
Aaron, Joe Asakura.
Take the hint.
He is also known as Joe the Condor.
I don't know.
He is from Science Ninja Team Gatchaman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, Aaron, this is your last one. It's currently a draw. Joey Jones. Another Joey Jones.
I was going to say.
What's the hint?
He was co-created by Stan Lee.
From Spider-Man?
No. Anthony? Mm.
Oh, Joey Jones. Joey Jones. Fantastic Four?
No, he's from Hero Man.
I've never even heard of that. Hero Man.
It's on Crunchyroll. It's annoyingly not quite as good as you'd hope it to be.
Mm.
The animation's quite nice, but if you thought Crusher Joe dragged, that drags on a weekly basis. Anthony, chance to win here.
Oh, okay.
Joe Shinomura.
I'm thinking. I don't want to answer, but I'm thinking maybe Guyver. No, give me the clue. Give me the clue.
His code name is also the name of the show in which he appears.
Oh God. Pass.
Aaron, chance to win. Joe Shinomura. His codename is also the name of the show in which he appears.
Is it Guyver?
No. I've got a tiebreaker then. Okay. Oh. Well, Aaron had a go at answering the last one, so Anthony can go.
Oh, yes.
Joe Hibiki.
Oh, I'm thinking of Dan Hibiki. Oh, unless... Give us a clue.
He's a civil servant and a superhero.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Aaron, do you want to guess?
I don't know.
It's Joe Hibiki from Gatchaman Crowds.
Oh, damn it. I only just watched it. You know what I'm like with names? It takes me years to remember a character's name. I'm not even joking.
But that is how you play Gojo.
That was a tie.
That was fairly good scoring compared to that whale quiz.
Yeah.
A little bit better than the whale one.
Is that the benchmark? Is the whale quiz the benchmark?
It's the benchmark for failure.
It's the benchmark for me knowing how not to do these guess what show it is type quizzes. Because, yeah, I figured this was the best way of doing it. I was like, do I do it? Do I describe the Joe and you get a point for naming the Joe and a point for naming the series? I thought, no, that's going to go wrong. Let's do it this way. Keep it simple.
Yeah, I like this method. Well. I like the risk of, do you have a go or do you not? It's good.
No risk, no reward.
Yeah, exactly.
Okie dokie. Aaron, anything you want to plug before we close things down for the day?
Well, my website is aaronlongcartoons.com. So if you go there, you'll see the stuff I've made. And you can follow me on Tumblr at aaron-long.tumblr.com. I think that's about it, more or less.
Anthony?
I'm just on Twitter at AntAskew. And I'm going to pimp my Tumblr out. I'm gonna clean up the act. It's what is it again? Hold on, because it's been a while. It's
Umlaut ampersand.
Umlaut ampersand. It's go there. That my last post, I'm just having a peek now, was the internet ever decides to work. I don't even remember when it was. It may be the retweet of one of Aaron's, actually. Or retumble. Is it called a retumble? I don't know. I'm not too sure. But yeah.
I think it's reblog.
Reblog. That's what I did. It might have been one of his. But yeah, go follow me. I post some good stuff. Unless I've been hijacked, tumblejacked. And somebody's posted something very vulgar.
I think last thing you posted was a bunch of food being made.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just having a look now.
Looking at it now.
Awesome. It looks great.
It does. It's making me hungry.
There you go. That's all I'm doing.
Okay, so as you listen to this, I think we're 3 weeks away from IACON. So if you're listening to this and you're coming to IACON, these are the things you could come and see. You can come and see me talk about penguins, as mentioned earlier, for an hour. I've got a lot of penguins to fit in an hour, so hold on to your hats. I could be breaking the penguin speed record here. Then there'll be Mad Stravaganza 7, 2 hours of me playing silly videos to you, and you hopefully enjoying it. And who knows, there may be a game or two which has been on this podcast will escape into the wild and will be played live. So you have a chance to win my unwanted copy of Halo Legends.
Oh! I've already finished the game. I think I did 100%
on
that.
I know, I mean the DVD that you made.
Oh, the game. I was thinking you meant the RTS game.
No.
Oh, that was Halo Wars. Halo Wars, that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing panels at IACON as well.
Yes, well, let me finish mine.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
And finally, you can come to see me and Anthony and various other people who've been on this podcast talk about the best anime songs of 1998, and you and us, you the audience, and us the panellists, will decide which one was the best, and after that there'll be no more arguments.
And we're flying Aaron over. So come expecting him. That'd be great if there's like huge queues. Oh, where's Aaron?
Where's Aaron?
That'd be glorious.
Unfortunately, at the moment, we're 10 o'clock in the morning, so I don't think there'll be huge queues for anything.
Nah.
Whatever we put on, there'll be very sleepy people in the audience, so I'm going to have to...
And on the panel.
There'll be a lot.
I think I'll be on the ball.
Fake energy.
I'll be on. Yeah, I'm good at that.
Well, yes, because you've got another panel.
I've got another two panels.
Yes.
I'm doing. I forget the name of it. What's it bloody called? One of them is.
Fucking computer games or
something. Fucking video games on Friday.
Where you and Perrin are going to fuck some video games.
Exactly. We're going to get them right in the disc hole. Except those digital copies are tough to get hold of. But seriously, we're just it's a thing of one of Perrin's used to do a podcast called Stage Clear, and he's resurrecting that just for IACON, and we're just basically going to discuss, and he wanted to make it really kind of not offensive, but he just wanted to call it that because it's going to be the last IACON, and he can't really get banned from another IACON if it's the last. And which is a valid point. And on the Saturday, it is the StarCraft Judgment Day, which is basically, it's 2v2 with crowd participation, where we basically go around the crowd and the crowd dictates what happens on screen. So we may drop a load of crap on one of the players, or steal his minerals, or move his minerals elsewhere, all that kind of stuff.
So it's like one of these maps where you can be the games master.
Exactly. We'll have four people playing. One guy will be on the computer doing shit, and then me and Perrin will be going around and presenting and commentating and you know, talking to the crowds. A little headset mic is on, hopefully. That'd be nice. I feel like a crusher. Not that they wear headsets, but I imagine they would if they were going to talk to each other.
You can find me on Twitter at @awesome_engine. I have a website, awesome-engine.com. And I have I have loads of Tumblrs. So let's plug.
Do you?
I have so many Tumblrs.
He's always getting banned.
No, I just come up with a joke idea, make a Tumblr for it, and then never update it again. But I am currently doing a Tumblr called Golden Nianni Versary, which is a parody of Jeff Tebbutt's his golden anniversary of anime. But rather than doing 50 years of televised anime, I'm doing 50 years of anime cats. Which I am occasionally updating. I think I'm currently on 1974 with Mikun from various Leiji Matsumoto shows, because apparently that is what Leiji Matsumoto calls all his cats. As one dies, he buys another Mikun.
That's nice.
And yeah, so this cat appears all over the place in all his shows. Yeah, so cats, anime cats. And so that may eventually turn into a future panel. So if I think, which is just building a rod for my own back, really. If there's that many anime penguins, how many anime cats are they going to be?
Oh, God.
We're going to be doing a 5-hour panel.
I'll just have my own convention. It'll just be a cat, anime cat convention.
Brian's Cat Con.
I'm sure I could get more people to turn up to it than the London Anime Con. that seems a little harsh, but fair. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the rainbow hell that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye!
Bye!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.